You're listening to Boggy Talk, Faith Conversations in the Mud, a resource of Church on Bayshore.
Hey, welcome to Boggy Talk. Thanks for tuning in, and we're coming to you, I mean, really live from the Southern Baptist Convention, live from Indianapolis. It's the SBC. That sounds way cooler than the SBC actually is. So, but yeah, how you doing? Yeah, you are in Indianapolis.
That didn't sound very cool either. So for that to be the bar.
That's about as cool as the SBC right there.
Yeah, it still sounded a lot cooler. That's how uncool the SBC is. So yeah, man. So I'm here in Indianapolis in a hotel, which is why we're doing this via Zoom. And today's Tuesday morning when this is dropping. So the convention is getting started, probably has already started when you're listening to this.
Yeah. So, so we kind of each year for the SBC kind of talk about some of the things going on in the SBC. And, you know, I think for some people who are, newer to Boggy Talk or newer to Church on Bayshore, they're like, what? We're SBC? but really, maybe let's just start there. What is the SBC? What is the Southern Baptist Convention? I'm going to ask you, Convention Boy.
Yeah. And the lady I talked to on the airplane yesterday was like, you're going to Indianapolis for the Southern Baptist Convention?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
There's been several times the Southern Baptists have tried to change their name. And every time they're like, no.
I know. And I really wish we would change it to Great Commission Baptist, because makes a lot more sense. But yeah, the Southern Baptist Convention is, and if you come to Discover, you usually hear about this and explore and join, but I don't expect everyone to remember that, and not everyone has. It's a meeting of 2 days that lasts 2 days, and it consists of all the churches, or at least the churches who choose to participate in the meeting, who cooperate together under the guiding faith document of the Baptist Faith and Message, and according to the bylaws of the convention, to plant churches, send missionaries, do disaster relief, educate people called to ministry or who want to go to, Christian school, a lot of other things. So that's really what it is. There's no hierarchy. There's no, group that's telling churches what to do and not to do necessarily. We'll get into that. But it's churches who voluntarily cooperate together. And we, as Church on Bayshore, First Baptist Church of Niceville, Inc., First Baptist Church on Bayshore, Bayshore Church, whatever you want to call us. We are one of those churches who cooperate.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the beautiful things about the SBC is that it doesn't matter about church size when it comes to the SBC. I mean, some of those things do play out in influence. But when it comes time to the actual convention, who has access to the microphone, who has access to speak, I mean, you can be a church of 10 and you have the same access as the church of 10,000.
That's right.
So,
that's right.
That is a beautiful thing. And you do have a great, diversity of churches because you've got, churches from large cities to the smallest of small towns across ethnicities. It really is a beautiful thing, apart from like the business meeting aspect of things. It really is beautiful. Really quickly, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it really is a big business meeting. So there will be recommendations made from the floor, from the committees that exist, all those things. Budgets will be voted on. Reports will be given. And there's worship, of course, in that as well. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I would add, too, if anybody wants to watch online, they can do that. You can live stream it. You can go back and access it. It's all out there. If you just go to the Southern Baptist SBC.net, and there's links there. And so next week, just go ahead and we will actually be talking next week, kind of some takeaways from the convention and things that happened, what actually happened from the room where it happened. So be sure and listen to that.
Yep.
But right now we're going to talk about kind of some of the things that are pressing this convention and what we anticipate will be the topic du jour and what's going on. So let's start there. And probably the first and probably the most prominent one that there's been the most chatter is always something that's the most chatted about leading into it. And that this year is the law amendment. So I'm going to let you explain a little bit about Lawmen, and then we'll discuss.
Yeah, which if you have no understanding, you're like, wait, are we going to do the rabbinic law again? Like, are we, you know, going to bring in the
Old Testament law? What a name. Right. I just love to choose confusing names for things.
I was going to say, someone has got to say, I'm pretty sure they debated the law amendment back in, you know, Antioch. I mean, in Jerusalem, you know. And
that's right.
Acts chapter 15, I think that is. But yeah, I mean, we probably won't get further than this because I think in talking about this issue, we're probably talking about the overarching issue and tension that exists in the SBC right now. The law amendment is an amendment to what defines cooperation according to the Constitution bylaws of the Southern Baptist Convention. And that would be adding the statement, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that those churches must have only men in any kind of role of pastor or elder or overseer. So there are churches within the SBC who have women who serve in the role of senior pastor. There are churches in the SBC who have the women who serve in the role of you know, connections pastor, communications pastor, teaching pastor. There's a situation where both the pastor and his wife are called the lead pastors. And the purpose of this amendment is to say that can't happen anymore in any of our cooperating churches.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it seems cut and dry, you know, historically Baptists, for the most part, Southern Baptists, I should say, have held to the role of the office of elder or pastor being reserved for men, qualified men, we should add. But it's not that simple because as the Southern Baptist Convention, we are cooperating churches, like you said, under the guidelines of these documents. But really, every church is autonomous. And because every church is autonomous, every church titles things differently. And so you do have churches, like you said, where they may have a female senior pastor. But then you have other churches who call someone a pastor or a minister, but they're not functioning in that role as outlined by the Bible. So it just gets a little convoluted. Let's talk about, that's the what it is. So why is this an issue now?
Well, I think so to understand what the Constitution bylaws say about cooperating churches, it says they must closely align with the Baptist faith and message. So it doesn't say they have to affirm all the Baptist faith and message. Because the truth is, if you read through it, there might be some things where you're like, I think so, you know, or it depends on who's asking and those kind of things. And that's going to be true in any document of that size. So this is to say, hey, you don't closely align with us if you have a woman in any of these roles. And, you know, I think it's important for me, just because most people listening to this are from our church, it's important for me to say, you know, personally and then convictionally as a church, we do believe the office of pastor is limited to men as qualified by scripture. And good point, Justin, because the amendment to the amendment actually says as qualified by scripture. So it's saying not just a man, you have to be a qualified man, right? So the point of this isn't, hey, men can do this and women can't. It's what are the qualifications given to us in scripture? And among other qualifications, man, being a man is one of them. So anyway, so we as a church, you know, we would not, even though we believe women are active in ministry, have gifts of shepherding, all those things, we believe the office is limited to men. And you wouldn't see that otherwise. So that's not a question for us personally as a church, but the question is, who are we willing to cooperate with, right? Closely. Who are we willing to educate with, send missionaries with? And that's really a tough issue because, you know, we'll take our friends at Crosspoint down the street, like they do affirm women in senior pastor roles. So we're probably, and some other doctrinal differences. So we're not going to teach together. You know what I mean? We're not going to do seminary together. We're not going to send missionaries together. So, but we still cooperate in serving the community in many ways. Absolutely. But these are churches where we're saying, hey, we are educating and sending missionaries and funding your missionaries and those kind of things. So there does need to be a tighter grip, if you want to say that, on what we believe. However, you know, I don't know, A, that I, so I would not call Christy Pastor Christy because she's not in the office, but in a smaller church, in some different ethnicity dominated churches, I get it. And they're not teaching or doing anything that's problematic to me. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know that we need this. And then secondly, and then I'll let you talk. I don't know that this actually really does anything except opens the door for continuing to add lists and lists and lists to this. And I think we should be dealing more with these churches that are out of line individually instead of doing this. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. I think what we're hitting at is like there's just different ways that churches do things. And some of it isn't like they're not necessarily teaching this, but it's just whether it's a cultural thing or whether it's a, you know, that's just what they say. They call this person Pastor so-and-so, or they, and so we adding to this, personally, I agree. It's kind of an unnecessary step because churches have been disfellowshipped using the document as it is now for right. the things that they're trying to do now.
Right.
So why now? And I think it just, to me, and we'll just kind of takes us to the next point or question is like, I personally could be wrong, but just see a lot more of this being about peoples and groups of peoples and their agendas for things and wanting to really have control over things. And this mm-hmm. now is one more thing to me, it's almost right. like opening the door to like the Salem witch trials of like, right. you know, I heard about this church over here and they have a kids yeah. minister and they call right. her Sister Hazel that yeah. just popped out. But they're like Pastor, and it's like, so like they're not operating in the office. They just call them that. And it's just opening the door to things that in my right. mind, and granted, this is reflective of a person. I'm like, who's got time for that? Like, we do need to like pursue doctrinal integrity, purity. Absolutely. But I feel like it's for some, it's just we want to do this so that we can have control and push forward. Like, this is like we have an agenda and this is our foot in the door to get our agenda like steamrolling. I can be wrong, but that's just my assessment of things.
I mean, there's definitely a group that could say, finally, I figured it out, but it took a long, long time. Maybe now there's a turnabout because I'm trying. Yeah. Anyway, it's time to do the Sister Hazel song for you. Is what Southern say. I hear everybody say it. Like, I hear like super educated, polished people say, yeah, no. Like,
yeah, on no, it's a-
so, no, yeah. Anyway, I think that would describe how I feel about the amendment. Yeah, no, yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I mean, like the amendment is like clarifying, and in principle, I'm like, yeah, it clarifies. But I think the heart behind it, the spirit behind it, is not really that.
Right. So there are SBC churches that have female senior pastors. There's a list that was put out. I mean, those. Hey, again, we're not saying this is a gospel issue. We're not saying you're not saved if you believe a woman could be a pastor. But you're not a Baptist. Like, leave. So you know. So those should be dealt with. But yeah, the other issues, it is tricky if you want to say that. But I think what you were getting to is, and I'm oversimplifying this, I would categorize people in five categories on where they are on this. On one
I'm
end,
you said group, I'm oversimplifying, and then you're like, then there's five.
Yeah. Well, I am oversimplifying still.
I know.
So there is one group that either is liberal or is drifting liberal, and they want the existing power structure, whatever that is in their mind, to be gone. They often associate it with patriarchal leadership. And so they'll do anything, including, hey, let's have more women in power so that disrupts the patriarchy. So there is that group. And the SBC historically has not been that, and there is concern about that. On the far other side, there's the group that I would say are more Christian nationalists, again, oversimplifying, and basically any threat to how we have historically done things it causes defensiveness and attack. And so you got those two groups, which I think are small percentages, but are the loudest percentages on each side. And then I think maybe just slightly inward of both of those are people that either are like, hey, yeah, only men can be called pastor, or who are like, hey, we're open on this. But they're not necessarily drifting in those different directions. And they've probably been there for a long time. But those two polar groups have kind of made them be like, okay, where am I? And then you have the majority who's at the center of this, who's like, hey, we can all cooperate together. So I think it's those two extreme sides that are problematic. And unfortunately, they kind of infiltrate into those more inner sides, inner categories. And that's when it becomes very convoluted. And you really, in a business meeting that only lasts a day and a half with 15,000 people or 20,000 people, you really can't sit down and hear each other out.
Right. It's not the forum. And so a lot of that happens ahead of time. And it's, again, a lot of it's not face to face and a lot of it's just online. Right. And so there's not context. And I think it's like, at the end of the day, the vast majority, I would say the vast overwhelming majority, like have the same goals. They want to see the convention, you know, like honor Christ on mission and, you know, honor scripture. And it's these extremes. And then, you know, of course, you get in the middle, but like these two extremes that are usually the loudest and most vocal, and everyone else in the middle is like, come on, guys. Like, you know, the folks like us are just like, why? And I think that's a huge piece of this.
And the concern about both of those sides is legitimate. Like, I saw someone who's a friend post on social media the other day about how they've left the SBC and their friend has become a female ordained pastor and they just are so thankful. Well, I looked up that friend's church and they're gay affirming. So, you know, they're LGBTQ plus affirming. So I'm like, you're not, why didn't you say that too? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. And that, when you begin to be loose with the scripture, it leads there. I'm not saying tomorrow, but it does lead that direction. You know, I mean, we've seen what happened in the United Methodist Church. We've seen what happened in the Episcopal Church as they became loose about scripture. And those are top-down denominations versus ours that is autonomous. So that's a legitimate concern. And then on the other hand, saying, hey, there are those that are basically trying to protect, you know, how things have always been, and are angry that they've lost control. I mean, that's valid too. They really are, you know, and I think ultimately, like, what is behind all of this, from those two sides is control.
Yeah.
Power. Maybe money. Absolutely. Some.
Yeah, for sure. And I think there's merit. I mean, some of the things that I've seen, and I think there is merit to this, is that this kind of became, this has been an issue that has, you know, throughout decades, you know, it's kind of, you know, ebbed and flowed as far as its preeminence and prominence in the convention. But really, in the past few years, it's been a resurging topic, you know, some based on culture, some based on other denominations. But then also there's those who are pointing out that, hey, this is coming at the same time that we're actually trying to deal with sex abuse and the sex abuse task force.
Yeah.
And it just seems very disingenuous that we're not, as churches, there's those who are opposed to addressing or following through with the sex abuse task force. And those seem to be some of the same people who are like, let's pass this and disfellowship every church, you know. So I do think there's validity in, at the bare minimum, the optics and how it's perceived.
I would
say there is validity to the concern that it actually is a little bit of like, hey, why is there's some incongruency here that this is such a big debate when we're not fully, when there's churches who are not fully on board with fully addressing sex abuse task and reform.
Right. There's a podcast episode that Willie Rice did on the Center for Baptist Leadership hosted by William Wolfe. Not a general fan of William Wolfe, but and just his rhetoric. But I really respect Willie and I wanted to hear what he said. And he said, like, on the other hand, you know, whenever he was running for SBC president, he began to realize very quickly that there is a group who are for the survivors, who are about more than just the survivors. It is about you know, if you want to simplify it, the Me Too movement, you know, it is about kind of this liberal progressive agenda. And he, his point was that he feels like because of that, you know, because of what you mentioned, and then also because of that group who isn't just okay with sex abuse, they actually want, and I think he didn't go out and say this, but what they want to subvert the current structures, you know, because of that.
Blowing all up. I mean, I think that is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It gets in the way of actually doing what Christ has called us to do. And again, I think those are small groups on both sides. That's Me Too on both sides. But people are being drawn into them who are already kind of maybe on the right and left.
Right. And I think that's a good point, because it's not, these aren't mutually exclusive. They should walk in tandem with each other. I mean, if that's, we're going to be people of, I mean, I have to say, we're people of the book. Like, let's be people of the book. The issue is that we have a lot of different interpretations of the book, and everyone thinks they're right. And then we do have people who, you know, we have preferences, and rather than acknowledging preferences as preference, we try to, you know, make our preference the biblical interpretation. And I think what you're saying is right. Like, these things should walk together and not distract us. And so that's, and I would say, you know, having been to the SBC last year, walked away from it actually, you know, despite all the things that get said online, like, actually really encouraged, because there really is in the room, at least last year, and I hope the same for this year, definitely a spirit of unity and cooperation. And most people are thankful and glad that God is at work. And so really that takes cutting through a lot of the noise and the fray, and you know, just keeping what is most important, most important.
I read last week the book, The Great Dechurching by Jim Davis and Michael Graham. And in it, towards the end, they basically talk about the need for confessional and missional churches. And I think, you know, you do see the, I would say, again, not the polar groups, but kind of the ones who are to the right and left, but are level-headed. Those groups are either leaning confessional or missional. And he said in the book, missional, and to explain that, I mean, you have the group that's confessional, that's like, hey, this is what we believe. We got to make sure we emphasize that. And sometimes they'll do that at the expense of being on mission and reaching the culture. Mm-hmm. And you got the group that's missional that says, hey, we got to reach these people. And then sometimes because of that, they won't teach people what they should. And so he says, missional and confessional aren't two opposing ideas we need to hold in tension. They are two truths designed to work together. And I think that is true, but it's not like you're always going to have those groups that drift liberal or conservative, and we're going to have to deal with that from time to time. And I do think we have the mechanisms in place to deal with that already. However, and this kind of begins to maybe turn the plane here or whatever, a vote is going to happen, and either the news is going to say women excluded from ministry in Southern Baptist Convention, or it's going to say women allowed to be pastors in Southern Baptist Convention. And both of those things are not true, regardless of what's voted.
Right.
Like, that's not enough information. So, and at this point, I'm okay with navigating the waters of whatever is decided, even to the point that, you know, I'm, Lord willing, will be on the executive committee as of today's vote. But I do think we got to keep watch on what's going on here, like, even well after this vote.
Absolutely. And I think for me, you know, I'm the, you know, quintessential middle child peacemaker. Like, hey, let's, I think, you know, I'm like, it actually really doesn't bother me. I mean, yeah, I want everybody to be more level-headed and, you know, think like me, right? But it really doesn't bother me that there's these two extreme groups in the SBC. Because I do see the value that, like, they help us stay focused on what matters. If both parties, in all of us, not just these two extremes, but everyone in the middle, we stay humble and we are committed to the scriptures and to the Lord and learning from each other in different perspectives.
Right.
Because ultimately, these two extremes provide the tension that keeps us focused on the mission. And I think, you know, that would be my heart and hope, desire, is that regardless, is that We do need people speaking up on both sides. And even if God can use even our error in a group to bring forth things that, oh, you know, but we do need to think about that. And we need this tension actually makes us tension, time of tension or time over time, whatever it is, tension over time makes us stronger. That's how you get stronger as a person. That's how we get stronger as cooperating churches is that I think we are helping each other be more focused and better.
I think what you're saying is a point of maturity that is hard for a culture that is used to getting their way. Last year, you know, we as a church were coming up on a year that we actually disfellowshipped four members of our church for several things, but personally attacking me, you know, personally attacking, like not physically, but and it was an overwhelming number. I mean, 90-something% that heard the case and voted these members out of our church. But we had a few members who were just so upset about it, like not angry, just like, how could we disfellowship anyone when the scripture lays it out? And I said, you know what? It is good that we have people like you who could never vote someone out of a church. We need people like you in our church. However, we don't need everyone to be like you in our church.
Right.
And you have to trust what the Spirit of God does through the majority of the body. And I think that's where I'm at. You know, I'm like, hey, I may not fully see this, but I trust what the Spirit of God is doing through the majority of the body, and that I'm not the sinner. I am a sinner, but I'm not the center, right? And I think we all think we're the center, and we have to really put ourselves in a humble place when we recognize, hey, maybe I'm not, maybe this isn't what the Spirit is doing through everybody. And now there are certain clear things, but I mean, by and large, that applies.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, all that to say, the next few days are the next, you know, should be interesting and at times beautiful and at times frustrating at the SBC. I think, you know, one of the things that's been said through this, and we'll kind of land here, is that people are like, hey, we may end up losing a lot of churches over this and the SBC. Are we okay with that? And people are like, yeah, we're okay with that because done. But the question is, are we really okay with that?
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people say, yeah, we're okay with it. And then when it actually starts to happen, be like, I don't know that we're okay with this. And, you know, granted, you can't let the potential results determine like what is true when it comes to what's true. But I think that is going to be a question that the convention has to reckon with regardless of how this goes.
Yeah. We paid off our debt as a church in January, and we are, because of limitation in our facilities, examining what does the future look like for our facilities. And the clearest thing right now is it looks like a lot of money. And yeah, we're in this incredible financial position, not only because giving is above budget, but because if, let's say, we said, hey, we don't, I'm just making something up, the extreme. If culture was so pressing that so many people in our church were saying, you need to be gay affirming. And we said, hey, we love those who identify that way. We want them to be here and hear the truth of scripture, but here is what the scripture says. It says marriage is between a man and a woman. And we lost hundreds of people. We'd be okay. Like we'd have to do a little bit of cutting, but we'd be okay financially. But if we do this build project, that is less easier to say. And so I think, but we can't let that stop us from doing what's right. And I think the SBC has so much money invested in so many ways that they're thinking more about the business effect than doing what's right here. At least, you know, that's kind of the rhetoric from the corporate body. And I just think we have to say, hey, if it means, you know, we've been in a time of plenty as the American church, as Southern Baptist, it may be a time of famine, but if being faithful to God brings us that, then it's okay.
Yeah. That is the goal. Faithfulness. Yeah. I think that I love it.
And we preach that.
That's good.
We preach that, Justin Wyatt.
That's right. We got to. Yeah. And we got to say, all right, well, if this is really what it means, we count the cost, you know, and you know, like we count the cost, say, all right. And it's worth it to be faithful to the scriptures, to be faithful to Jesus. So,
yeah. All right, and man. I would just close with this. It's not just what you argue, it's how you argue. And so I don't know that everybody's seeing that.
Yeah. Can you just say that into the microphone at some point in the convention? Hey, guys, it's not about what we're doing. It's about how we're doing. That is so true, because the ends does not justify the means. You know, like, we have to do things in a way that honors Christ, not just to get something that looks good in a report or that'll speak well in the headlines, but that will ultimately honor Jesus with the means and the ends. So, yeah. Well, I hope it's a great few days. I hope you have fun seeing folks and connecting and getting all the free pastor swag. And, you know, somebody said, like, hey, I'm headed to SBC and I can pick all the pastors out in the airport. And I'm like, yeah, you probably can.
You can. Listen, I flew Southwest, so I get free check bags. So, man, I'll pick up some swag and bring it back, man.
Come on, bring it back. Yeah, all of it. Last year at the convention, I accidentally stole swag. I didn't realize that it wasn't like they had this whole, like, part of one of the booths had like this whole disc golf display. And I was like, man, this ministry's like giving away frisbee golf, like discs, like these are not cheap. And so I took one, and then I told Lucas and Alec, I was like, y'all need to go get these. They're giving these away because they play. And they came back and they're like, they're not giving those away. Like, I was like, oh. And I had it in my bag. So I took it back and I was like, hey, I thought y'all were giving these away. Okay. And the girl was like, oh, the Holy Spirit convicted you. I was like, no, for the record, I didn't know. I was prompted by the Spirit. Yeah, because it's the right thing to do. I wasn't like convicted over sin because it didn't like intentionally.
That's so funny.
It's like, I just, there, y'all had a bunch of these out and I just figured it was swag. So. Yeah.
Now I'm going to add, no thievery allowed if you closely align with the Baptist faith and message.
That's right. Don't steal. Thou shalt not. That's right.
I'm going to call it
the Wyatt. Even though it's explicit in scripture, we probably should have a resolution on it too.
That's right. That's right. Because the Bible's not enough. Anyway. All right, man. Well, have fun at Bayshore Kids Clubs.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week, and have fun at the SBC. All right, talk to you later. Buddy. Thanks for tuning in to Boggy Talk, folks. Next week, we'll be following up with what actually happened in the room at the SBC. So stay tuned.
Thanks for listening to Boggy Talk. We are so glad you joined in the conversation. Go ahead and subscribe so you don't miss a beat.